Hello, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast. Today, we're going to talk about session 2, and we're just going to hop right in and get started and see what Ra has to say. So, session 2 starts with Ra's greeting. I am Ra. I greet you in the love and the light of our infinite creator. I am with this mind-body-spirit complex, which has offered itself for a channel. I communicate with you. Queries are in order in your projections of mind distortion at this time-space. Thusly, would I assure this group that my own social memory complex has one particular method of communicating with those few who may be able to harmonize their distortions with ours, and that is to respond to queries for information. We are comfortable with this format. May the queries begin now. So 2.1 is questioner. I am guessing that there are enough people who would understand what you are saying, interested enough, for us to make a book of communications with it, and I wondered if you would agree to this, us making a book. And if so, I was thinking that possibly a bit of historical background on yourself would be in order. And then Don says something else, but it's inaudible. And Ra responds, I am Ra. The possibility of communication, as you would call it, from the one to the one, through distortion acceptable for meaning, is the reason we contacted this group. There are few who will grasp, without significant distortion, that which we communicate through this connection with this mind-body-spirit complex. However, if it be your desire to share our communications with others, we have the distortion towards a perception that this would be most helpful in regularizing and crystallizing your own patterns of vibration upon the levels of experience which you call the life. If one is illuminated, are not all illuminated? Therefore, we are oriented towards speaking for you and whatever supply of speakingness you may desire. To teach, learn is the law of one in one of its most elementary distortions. So here, right off the bat, we have Don saying, we got to make this into a book. This is got to be disseminated to other people. Other people are going to want to read this. This is so interesting and activating, and I'm so excited about it. I want to make it into a book. Would that be okay with you, Ra? And Ra says, you know, yeah, it's not really something that you should expect a lot of people to seek out, let alone understand. But they do say that this would be a service to others gesture, essentially, on the part of the group, that them trying to disseminate this material as a way of helping raise the consciousness of the planet and of individual mind-body-spirit complexes, that it would be helpful to the group in regularizing their distortions. Those distortions, of course, being service to others and a desire to serve others and to teach, learn. So yeah, question 2.2 is, could you tell us something of your historical background, your earlier times in the illusion and the time-state contact, possibly your incarnation on this planet that you spoke of before, and contact with earlier races on this planet? Then we would have something to start with in writing this book. I am Ra. We are aware that your mind body is calculating the proper method of performing the task of creating a teach learning instrument. We are aware that you find our incarnate, as you call it, state of interest. We waited for a second query so as to emphasize that the time space of several thousand of your years creates a spurious type of interest. Thus, in giving this information, we ask the proper lack of stress be placed upon our experiences in your local space-time. The teach-learning, which is our responsibility, is philosophical rather than historical. We shall now proceed with your request, which is harmless, if properly evaluated. We are those of the Confederation who, 11,000 of your years ago, came to two of your planetary cultures, which were at that time closely in touch with the creation of the One Creator. It was our naive belief that we could teach learn by direct contact, and the free will distortions of individual feeling or personality were in no danger, we thought, of being disturbed, as these cultures were already closely aligned with an all-embracing belief in the liveness or consciousness of all. We came and were welcomed by the peoples whom we wished to serve. We attempted to aid them in technical ways having to do with the healing of mind-body-spirit complex distortions through the use of the crystal, appropriate to the distortion, placed within a certain appropriate series of ratios of time-space material. Thus were the pyramids created. We found that the technology was reserved largely for those with the effectual mind-body distortion of power. This was not intended by the Law of One. We left your peoples. The group that was to work with those in the area of South America, as you call that portion of your sphere, gave up not so easily. They returned. We did not. However, we have never left your vibration due to our responsibility for the changes in consciousness we had first caused and then found distorted in ways not relegated to the Law of One. We attempted to contact the rulers of the land to which we had come, that land which you call Egypt, or in some areas, the Holy Land. In the 18th dynasty, as it is known in your records of space-time distortions, we were able to contact a pharaoh, as you would call him. The man was small in life experience on your plane and was a, what this instrument would call, wanderer. Thus, this mind-body-spirit complex received our communication distortions and was able to blend his distortions with our own. This young entity had been given a vibratory complex of sound which vibrated in honor of a prosperous god, as this mind-body complex, which we call instrument for convenience, would call Amun. The entity decided that this name, being in honor of one among many gods, was not acceptable for inclusion in his vibratory sound complex. Thus, he changed his name to one which honored the sun disk. This distortion, called Aten, was a close distortion to our reality as we understand our own nature of mind-body-spirit complex distortion. However, it does not come totally into alignment with the intended teach learning which was sent. This entity, Akhenaten, became convinced that the vibration of one was the true spiritual vibration and thus decreed the Law of One. However, this entity's beliefs were accepted by very few. His priests gave lip service only, without the spiritual distortion toward seeking. The peoples continued in their beliefs. When this entity was no longer in this density, again, the polarized beliefs and the many gods came into their own and continued so until the one known as Muhammad delivered the peoples into a more intelligible distortion of mind-body-spirit relationships. Do you have a more detailed interest at this time? So, this is a pretty big dump that Ra does here about their past in Egypt. They do start out by saying that their intentions to come and teach us are philosophical and not historical, but they do give this information for some context and explanation of their previous meddlings with our social memory complex. So 11,000 years ago, they actually came as Ra to Egypt because the peoples of Egypt at that time were very open to all sorts of fantastic things happening in their reality. So they didn't think that them showing up would be too disturbing to what was already going on with that portion of the social memory complex. However, they were wrong. As they say, they were naive, and they ended up causing more distortions. The technology, such as the pyramids that they gave to the Egyptians at that time, was withheld for only the elite, the people who had the most power and the most money, presumably. I'm assuming back then we had some form of money already. And so they ended up leaving the physical plane. They ended up leaving the physical plane. They've remained with us, trying to do what they can from a distance. At the same time that they came, another social memory complex went to South America and had much of the same problems. However, that social memory complex did come back once more to try to fix what they had disturbed, but they weren't very successful in those attempts either. So the Confederation has tried to come and walk on our planet in their sixth density physical forms, and that just did not work. It did not work with our social memory complex. Later on, Ra talks about how they had higher density entities come and give them pyramids, and it helped them. They didn't distort this technology in the same ways that we decided to distort this technology, so they thought that they could do the same thing for us. But it didn't work that way. We're a very unique planet, as we will keep discussing as we get further into the material. So in the 18th dynasty, which is what, like around 1600 BC, 1800 BC, somewhere around there. Akhenaten was born. He was born Akhen-Amun. Amun is a Egyptian god who watches over the pharaohs, essentially. He is sort of the god of the elite in a lot of ways. So Akhen-Amun did not like that name, so he changed his name to Akhenaten. And then he had a very, very famous son named Tutankhaten, King Tut. But of course, he changed his name to Tutankhamun. And so we have this sort of back and forth where Amun was sort of the most, again, Ra refers to it as the most prosperous deity, the one who watched over nobility and brought prosperity to those who were in power. And Akhenaten did not resonate, did not vibrate with that distortion, but his son did. So his son really helped undo a lot of the changes that Akhenaten had tried to make to the Egyptian culture. And yeah, so that's how that went. And Ra even says too, while Akhenaten was alive, his priests really only gave lip service to the changes that he was trying to make to the religious culture of Egypt, which at that time definitely did have money involved. The temples were very, very, very wealthy parts of the society. They took in so much money for all sorts of various things. And so it was really hard to change that in one short lifetime of one man. And they all just kind of went back to doing what they were doing, which was very profitable and lucrative for the priests. And then so Ra says that it wasn't until Muhammad that we were given a less distorted version of mind-body-spirit relationships, as Ra says. Muhammad delivered the peoples into a more intelligible distortion of mind-body-spirit relationships. You know, this is sort of an interesting thing that Ra brings up to me, because the question is, where did you, Ra, involve yourself in our social memory complex? And Ra says, we walked in Egypt, we contacted Akhenaten, and then there was Muhammad. They don't say specifically that they contacted Muhammad, but it's possible that that's what they mean. And to me, it's also interesting that they just totally skip over Jesus. They don't really give Jesus any credit for delivering peoples into a more intelligible distortion of the mind-body-spirit relationships. I believe that's because Islam really has the concept of Allah, which is all of creation is God, essentially all this one being that is everything and is our God. So just something interesting to think about in the context of what Ra has said here and bringing up Muhammad unprovoked and, again, skipping over Jesus in this this historical retelling of the Law of One. I know a lot of people have very complicated feelings about Islam, so I'm not trying to proclaim anything in particular. I just think we should remember, though, that all religions over a period of time, as Ra says, when we have thousands of years in between events, that there isn't really a lot of truth remaining as far as what really happened and what really went down. So I think we should just keep that in consideration. So question 2.3 is, we are very interested in the entire story that you have to tell and in getting into the Law of One in quite some detail. There will be several questions that I'll ask as we go along that may or may not be related directly to understanding the Law of One. However, I believe that the proper way of presenting this as a teach-learning vehicle to the population of the planet that will read it at this time is to investigate different facets of what you tell us. You spoke of crystal healing. One other thing I might mention is that when the instrument becomes fatigued, we want to cut off communication and resume it at a later time when the instrument is recharged. And if the instrument is suitable at this time, I would like a little discussion of the crystal healing that you mentioned. I am Ra. The principle of crystal healing is based upon an understanding of the hierarchical nature of the structure of the illusion, which is the physical body, as you would call it. There are crystals which work upon the energies coming into the spiritual body. There are crystals which work upon the distortions from spirit to mind. There are crystals which balance the distortions between the mind and the body. All of these crystal healings are charged through purified channels. Without the relative crystallization of the healer working with the crystal will not be properly charged. The other ingredient is a proper alignment with the energy fields of the planet upon which you dwell, and the holistic or cosmic distortions or streamings which enter the planetary aura in such a manner that an appropriate ratio of shapes and placement within these shapes is of indicated aid in the untangling or balancing process. To go through the various crystals to be used would be exhaustive to this instrument, although you may ask us if you wish in another session. The delicacy, shall we say, of the choosing of the crystal is very critical, and, in truth, a crystalline structure such as a diamond or ruby can be used by a purified channel who is filled with the love light of the One in almost any application. This, of course, takes initiation, and there have never been many to persevere to the extent of progressing through the various distortion leavings which initiation causes. May we further inform you in any fairly brief way upon this or another subject. So, unfortunately, Don doesn't really follow up a lot with questions about crystal healing, especially not yet. He does ask some more questions a little bit later, but Ra does prompt him to ask about more specific crystals, and for those of us who are interested in crystals, it is a gap that we do not get in our knowledge. But Ra talks about how there are many different kinds of crystals, they work in different ways, but what is really important is that the person wielding the crystals is crystallized themselves, having gone through many initiations and various distortion leavings, which the initiations cause. So, with a very balanced healer, a very crystallized healer, they can use crystals like a diamond or a ruby to do any of these things, to work on the energies coming into the spirit, the distortions from the spirit to the mind, the distortions between the mind and the body. These are all different ways that we have illness present. Are these energies not coming through and reaching us in a purified way? A purified being can use crystals to work on that, to help open those pathways at least temporarily so that the person being healed can then choose to step into that healed vibrational state with those energy pathways open. Because as Ra ends up explaining later, that's how healing is. The healer doesn't really do anything except for create the opportunity for the person who is being healed to accept healing. But crystals actually do alter the light, do alter the energies that are streaming into our body. And so someone who knows how to use those energies can do a lot more dramatic healing for the person who wants to be healed. Again, this is something we do talk about a little bit more. Ra explains a little bit more in depth later. Don's really, at this point, trying to conceptualize his book. Once Ra said, yeah, you can make a book, now Don's like, okay, well, what do I need for this book? How am I going to get this book to be comprehensible to so many people? And really, you know, it was never going to be comprehensible to many people, but I don't think they realized here in session two that ultimately what they were going to print was just the conversation. So yeah, Don's trying to create a narrative and a series of questions that seem to flow and seem to have a cohesion. But as we know, those of us who have read this material, there isn't really a very good cohesion. It is sort of chaotic in a lot of ways. So, and of course, obviously, Don was doing his absolute best. He sort of jumped right into the book idea, partly because, as I mentioned in the last session, Jim had just officially moved in with Don and Carla about 3 weeks prior to making contact with Ra. He had been traveling and driving to their conscious channeling sessions on the weekends and participating in their public meditations for a couple of years. But once they decided to all move in together and work together, the idea was being passed around about, well, we should do a book, but they didn't really know what they were going to do for a book. Don and Carla had already wrote a couple of books. They wrote The Crucifixion of Esmeralda Sweetwater, which is a novel based on some of these concepts that they had got from the Confederation. And Don also published The Secrets of the UFO book, which has a lot of channelings. It has a lot of information about his experience in UFO research and contactee research. It's a very interesting read. I recommend it. I'll link it below. So this is why the book idea was so much like, oh, Ra contacted them. It was such a big deal. Oh, this is our book. This is our book. When, you know, it's their project. It's what they were meant to do together. They knew that they had something to do together. And I guess ultimately they knew that a book was going to be made from it. So yeah, not trying to disparage Don, but it is just funny that session two, he's like, all right, we got to do a book. And now I'm going to try to fit this into a narrative of a book, you know, a traditional book. And as they mention later, when they do try to publish book one, they don't get a lot of positive response from publishers based on this transcript style of a book. You know, it's very, you know, it's a unique series of books. So thank you, Don, for making the book. So then session 2.4 says, yes, you mentioned that the pyramids were an outgrowth of this. Could you expand a little bit on, were you responsible for the building of the pyramid, and what was the purpose of the pyramid? I am Ra. The larger pyramids were built by our ability using the forces of one. The stones are alive. It has not been so understood by the mind-body-spirit distortions of your culture. The purposes of the pyramids were two. Firstly, to have a properly oriented place of initiation for those who wished to become purified or initiated channels for the Law of One. Two, we wished then to carefully guide the initiates in developing a healing of the people whom they sought to aid in the planet itself. Pyramid after pyramid, charged by the crystal and initiate, were designed to balance the incoming energy of the one creation with the many and multiple distortions of the planetary mind-body-spirit. In this effort, we were able to continue work that brothers within the Confederation had effected through building of other crystal-bearing structures, and thus completing a ring, if you will, of these about the Earth's, as this instrument would have us vibrate it, surface. This instrument begins to lose energy. We ask for one more query or subject, and then we shall take our leave for this space-time. So, Ra is describing why the pyramids and what they were used for. And they say that first the pyramids initiated those who wanted to become channels of the Law of One, or essentially healers in a broad sense of the term. And two, they wanted to help guide the initiates into how to do the healing of those who weren't yet initiated or purified channels for the Law of One, those who were still experiencing bodily distortions that needed healing. And they also then worked with balancing the overall energy of the planetary mind-body complex, which is very reactive to the thought forms that exist within the third density beings who are upon the planet. So the pyramids at that time were created in a ring around the Earth in special places that were specific to help redirect the energy of the planetary complex so that it was less distorted by the thought forms of this third density mind-body-spirit complexes. So that was four questions that we had so far, and Ra is trying to wrap it up. And it's not actually that Carla is completely out of energy after four questions. Ra really wants Don to ask more questions about the mechanics of the contact and how specifically to make contact with Ra and how to protect and facilitate the contact. So Don asks, you might mention there was originally a capstone on the pyramid at the top. What was it made of and how you moved the heavy blocks to build the pyramid? What technique was used for that? And Ra says, I am Ra. I request that we be asked this question in our next work time, as you would term the distortion sharing that our energies produce. If you have any questions about the proper use of this mind, body, spirit, we would appreciate your asking them now. And so Don asks, says, consider them asked. I mean, I don't have anything to go on. what is the proper use of this instrument? What should we do to maximize her ability to comfort, rejuvenation, etc.? And Ra says, I am Ra. We are pleased that you asked this question, for it is not our understanding that we have the right / duty to share our perceptions on any subject but philosophy without direct question. However, this mind-body-spirit is not being correctly used and therefore is experiencing unnecessary distortions of the body in the area of fatigue. The vibrations may well be purified by a simple turning to the circle of one and the verbal vibration while doing so of the following dialogue. Question, what is the law? Answer, the law is one. Question, why are we here? Answer, we seek the law of one. Question, why do we seek Ra? Answer, Ra is an humble messenger of the law of one. Both together. Rejoice then and purify this place in the law of one. Let no thought form enter the circle we have walked about this instrument, for the law is one. The instrument at this time should be in trance. The proper alignment is the head pointed 20 degrees north by northeast. This is the direction from which the newer or new age distortions of love light, which are less distorted, are emanating from. And this instrument will find comfort therein. This is a sensitive instrument, by which we mean the distortions which enter her mind-body-spirit complex come from any of her senses. Thus, it is well to do the following. Place at the entity's head a virgin chalice of water. To the center, the book most closely aligned with the instrument's mental distortions, which are allied most closely with the Law of One, that being the Bible that she touches most frequently. To the other side of the Bible, a small amount of sense or incense in a virgin censer. To the rear of the book symbolizing one, opened to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, a white candle. The instrument would be strengthened by the wearing of a white robe. The instrument shall be covered and prone, eyes covered. We feel that though this is a complex of activity / circumstance, and may seem very distorted from a purposeful teach / learning experience, these elaborations on the technique of trance will ease the mind distortions of those about the instrument as they perceive improvement in the instrument's distortions with regard to fatigue. We add only that if these teach-learning sessions are held during the time-space during which your sun body does not light your room, that it is best to call the instrument before the lighting of the illuminatory mechanism. I am Ra. I leave you in the glory and the peace of the One Creator. Rejoice in the love light and go forth in the power of the One Creator. In joy, we leave you. Adonai. So here Ra has given the instructions on how to formally make contact and call their social memory complex for this working. And these are the steps that the group takes now going forward for the rest of the 104 sessions that they do. They say a little prayer. They walk a circle around the instrument who is laying prone. And they also have an elaborate altar that they set up. And this is an interesting piece of the puzzle. The altar is very much specifically for Carla, and to protect her mind as she's going into trance. She talks often about how it would just happen to her. She had no will in this. She would just go into trance. And every time she was pretty scared about it because she didn't really know what was going on and, you know, what was happening to her precisely. So the altar was set up with items that were meant to bring her comfort and that had spiritual meaning for her. Carla was born Episcopalian. Her faith was very, very important to her. She loved participating in the church. And one of the ways to participate in the Episcopalian church was the altar guild. And, you know, I was raised Catholic. We had altar boys who took care of the altar that was set up for each service. But the altar guild in the Episcopalian church is usually older women, and they work very hard taking care of all of the items that end up going on the altar, the chalice, the Bible, the linens, and I'm guessing probably a censer for the incense as well. And all of these things had spiritual meaning personally for Carla, because as she did this work, she was very mindful of what these things meant in the context of her faith, in the context of a church service that was being performed as a way for the group consciousness to connect with spirit. And so, and ideally Jesus, because, you know, they're Christian and Jesus was the most important. And the altar is all about the cup with the wine, the bowl with the host, the communion host, which is the body and blood of Christ. So all of these things were personal items for Carla. Her chalice did not have wine. Her chalice had what was essentially holy water, water that Dawn and Jim would bless. I'm not sure if it was before or after, but they would charge the water with their love and she would drink it and it would help rejuvenate her. And then, of course, we have her favorite Bible. And that was also, again, a personal, very important thing for Carla. And Ra refers to it as the book most closely aligned with the instrument's mental distortions, which are allied most closely with the Law of One, that being the Bible she touches most frequently. So they're not saying that the Bible is perfect, that it's completely aligned with the teachings that Ra has to offer, but that it's Carla's closest source to those teachings. And later Ra talks about how every holy book has a path to the One for those who are truly seeking the One. And then, of course, every holy book also has distractions and distortions to justify not seeking the One for those who want to give lip service, as they say earlier about the priests in Egypt. And of course, this is where Ra makes the comment about making sure to turn on the light, or to what they actually say is that it's best to call the instrument into her body before they turn on the light, so that the light doesn't shock her back into her body, that somebody who's calling her name with loving vibrations is pulling her gently back into her body. And then when she's back into her body, then you can turn the lights back on. So, yeah, this is the basic setup. I've seen people before try to recreate some version of this for their own channeling, for their own attempts at trying to contact Ra. That's just not going to work. In fact, Dawn asks later, like, is that okay to publish? Is it okay if we published that portion where it has the ritual where we call upon Ra? And Ra's like, yeah, this is very specifically for this group. It's not for any other group. It's not going to work for anyone else. It's for you three. So, so a sort of abbreviated session, as Carla was not properly protected and cared for when she made this second contact with Ra. So her energy did wane very quickly, but now going forward, they will perform this ritual, which for the most part protects the vital energies of Carla when she goes into trance and performs this service. So that was session two. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope the audio was okay on this one. I had to drown out my four-year-old who I believe was making engine noises of some sort in the other room. So I apologize if any of those remain in the final cut. I hopefully have done a good job of not putting that there, but I'm not sure about the audio quality overall on this one. But regardless, thank you so much for listening. I will keep trucking forward through the rest of the sessions, and I hope to see you next time.